Again, as I've said, I don't know how we've got to the end of August so quickly, but here we are. Over July and August, we've been looking at a few of the Psalms and learning from some of the Psalms. And we come this morning to this Psalm 145, which Mary read for us. A Psalm which directs us to the greatness of the God whom we worship. Let me show you a few things and see if you know what they are. Any idea what that is? Ballpoint pen? Any other ideas? It's a ballpoint pen. But it's probably seen like you usually wouldn't see a ballpoint pen. What about that? Any ideas? Any guesses? That's, you know, the little stalk on an apple? That's a close-up of the end of a little stalk on the apple. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. What about that? Any ideas? It could be the X, but it's not. It's actually the letter X on a computer keyboard. And if you were a CSI or some of these, you could probably get the fingerprints off it there.
Velcro?
Could be. It is Velcro, as you've never seen it before. And I can't play the ripping noise, otherwise I would do that as well. A match, yeah. A match. What was that, sorry? I thought I heard somebody. Serrated knife. It is your bread knife, yeah. Isn't it really strange how you can see things that we all see and know, and you look at them from a different angle or up close, and we don't really catch it? What about that? Some of you may have had a bowl of them this morning. Cornflakes, yes. Things that we're so close to them in these pictures that we just don't recognize them. You know the saying that we have, you can't see the wood for the trees? Isn't it so true? We are up so close to those things, whether it's a bit of Velcro or a ballpoint pen or a cornflake, that we just don't recognize them. We're so close to them. We don't see the wood for the trees. There are times when we get so caught up in details of our own lives, details of what's going on around us, that we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of those things which are vital, utterly important for us. Because we're so close, we're so involved, we're so preoccupied, we lose sight of the big picture. We can get so caught up in the details of our own lives that we lose sight of the very greatness of God. We're so involved with the things that are going on in our own lives, things that are important, things that are concerning us, things that cause us anxiety, and therefore we need to be thinking about them, but we're so close to them and caught up in them that it's like those pictures, we just lose sight of the greatness of God in all of this. We can't see the wood for the trees. And this psalm helps us to come back and see again the greatness of the God whom we worship, the God who calls us to come to him through faith in Jesus, the God who graciously invites us, the God who waits for us, who runs to us and brings us home. The greatness of our God. So David gets caught up from the very first word of the psalm. David gets caught up in praise of God. And it's as though he has two bookends to the psalm, bookends that express something of his worship. So he starts here, "I will extol you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever." We've just sung that. I will praise your name forever and ever. If you've ever played a game with a small child, you will know that that small child will want to play that game again and again and again. And no matter how tedious you find it, no matter how dreadful you find it, you have to play that game again and again and again. Can we do it again? Can we? One more go. One more go. And on it goes. Or maybe it's been in that holiday, or you've just been somewhere which is so beautiful and peaceful, and you've just felt so wonderful that you think, I wish this would never come to an end. That's what's in David's mind. David is like that small child who's saying, just one more time. I wish this would never come to an end. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever. It's not a matter of a short time on a Sunday morning for David. David just wants that worship to mark his life, to flow from his life. And so right at the end of the psalm, again, this other bookend, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. This great explosion of praise as David remembers who and what God is. Again, I've talked about this quite often. Our children's songs, sometimes we sing children's songs and they're great and they're nice tunes and they're actions to them and whatever else. And we almost dismiss them as being, well, those are just for the kiddies. But there is such great theology in many of our children's songs. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. David would have sung that song all the time, every day. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Songs of greatness of God. And that's what this psalm is. If you read down through the psalm, and I would love you all to take some time this afternoon and read through this psalm again. You read through it and listen to David. It's a greatness that none can fathom. Nobody can really understand, can measure God's greatness. A greatness that none can fathom. The mighty acts of God, the wonderful works of God, the great deeds, the abundant goodness, and on it goes for David. There are just so many reasons to be caught up in this praise. And it's almost as though David has run out of words to try and describe the greatness of God, and he thinks of all that God has done. Remember his works. Remember his deeds. Remember his mighty acts. Remember his power. We have a great big God. And there's nothing that he cannot do. What do you think this guy's saying? What would a fisherman be saying out in the boat? Sam Robinson, you would know this. He's describing the one that got away, which is huge. And it grows. Here's the amazing thing. You cannot exaggerate God. You cannot exaggerate God. Because he is great beyond our understanding. None can fathom his greatness. You cannot exaggerate God. No matter how hard you may try, no matter what words you may use, you will never exaggerate God. This is the God who can do immeasurably more than all we can either ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. You cannot exaggerate this God. Let me read some of the words from the psalm again, some verses from 8 to 16. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men might know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We have a great big God. A God that we cannot exaggerate. But sometimes that just stays as a fact. It's just one of those things. We have a great big God. Full stop. Good theology is not only good statement, but it has a big impact on our lives. The fact that God is great has a huge impact on our lives, because this God is so great that he is greater than any of our problems. We're surrounded by problems. Some of them are international, that dominate our news. Some of them are in our own lives and no one else may know of them. But we are surrounded by problems. The good news of this psalm is that God is greater than any problem you face. We have a great big God. A God who is small or confined or restricted. Well, he's not much use in the face of problems. We have a great big God. So when the things we face seem insurmountable, we need to remember that we have this great big God, and he holds us in his hands. We need to remember that this is the God, as the screen says, who, that can do immeasurably more than you can either ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you. That's amazing. God is greater than our problems. Would you trust a God who is not great and is not good? A God who is weak? A God whose motives might be a bit suspect? Our God is both good and great. Would you pray to a God who is not good and great? Listen again to the psalmist. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. This is the God, the great God, who not only hears but delights to answer. The God who lifts down those who are down, lifts up those who are down. The God who hears our cry. This is not just about statements of theology, good and important though they are. This is about the greatness of our God, the character of our God. And until we begin to understand more and more of the character of God, our lives will never be changed. Understanding who and what God is changes us, shapes our lives, molds our lives. If God isn't great, if God is not all-powerful, if God is not in control, then everything depends on you and me, and boy, are we in big trouble. But God is great. God is sovereign. God is in control. We have this great big God. If God is not great, then sin has the final word, and we're defeated. If God is not able to sort that, then we are in the biggest trouble, because it's left to us to try and sort that out. And you and I know we can never do that. If God is not great, sin has the last word and we are defeated. But hear the words of Scripture. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. The victory over sin and death. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatness of our God. Because we have a great God, our sins can be forgiven. Because we have a great God, death itself is defeated. And we have the God who is eternal and who calls us into that eternal relationship with him. This great God who overflows with grace. God who can be gracious with us because of his greatness, reaches out to us in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, who by his death and resurrection has won the victory and reaches out to us. May our eyes be opened to the greatness of God. Maybe as we look around us at the beauty of the world, but most of all as we look to Jesus. In his word, by his Spirit, may our eyes be opened to the greatness of our God, to the extent that we can't stop worshiping. To the extent that our lives are changed into being people, more and more people of prayer. Because instead of trying to sort things out ourselves, we quickly turn to God in prayer, this great God. As we begin to understand the greatness of God, we are changed. Those who long to worship, those who are people of prayer. So please take time to read through this psalm. It's not a long psalm. As you read through the psalm, pray for opportunities to commend his works to others. Because we have this great God, we should be directing others to him. And so the psalmist says, commend his works to others, tell of his mighty acts, speak of the glorious splendor of his majesty. As we read this psalm, pray for those opportunities to do just that, to tell of his greatness, point others towards him. And as we do that, then our mission statement here begins to come to life. Because not only do we know the greatness of our God in Jesus Christ, but it just becomes so natural to make him known. The greatness of the God who loves you in Jesus Christ. May God grant us the grace to know something of him and to allow his Spirit to work in us. Transform us into the very people he would have us be. Let's pray together, and then the band are going to come and play again. Lord, it's easy for us to get so caught up in the details of things that we just don't see anything of your greatness. So forgive us, Lord, and help us to see that big picture, to know with the psalmist that our God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. Lord, may these truths change us to the praise of your glory. Amen.